you know, this whole chapter does. John 21 is where I'm going to be at. And what John 21 is talking about is Jesus showing himself to his disciples the third time after he's been resurrected or whatever. And I guess I'll just go ahead and read the whole chapter and then we'll dive right into it. Starting in verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this, why showed he himself? There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And then Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. And now when Simon Peter heard this, that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. And Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciples should not die. But Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which, if they were should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So if you look back over at verse 1, Jesus is showing himself to his disciples. Okay. And it's on at the Sea of Tiberias. The Sea of Tiberias is actually the Sea of Galilee. Tiberias is just a Roman name. When the Romans conquered, you know, much of the known world, they renamed a lot of things, and so they renamed the Sea of Galilee the Sea of Tiberias. And if you look at the part where it says, "And on this wise showed he himself," Jesus is not only showing himself to his disciples; he's going to reveal or manifest or manifesting his power and glory. So he's not just showing himself; he's going to show his power and glory. And then verse 2, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas, and so there's the 11 disciples there by the sea. And so we know that they're by the sea, so why are they by the sea? Why are they at the Sea of Galilee? If you look at Matthew 28:10, I'll just read it to you. "Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." So the disciples were there waiting on Jesus. And Jesus is showing himself to them. And then verse 3, "Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing." And they say unto him, we also go with thee. So Simon Peter has decided to go fishing, and they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. So they decided to go fishing and they caught nothing. And well, why did they catch nothing? So you could look at Matthew 28:16, and this could be the reason why they caught nothing, other than what, you know, Jesus is going to get glory from this. But Matthew 28:16, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them." So Jesus didn't tell them to go fishing. He didn't. Right. He didn't tell them to go fishing. He told them to wait on a mountain for him. So they had disobeyed God, pretty much. And he never said anything to them about fishing. And Peter and the disciples just decided to go fishing, and they caught nothing. So they just decided that upon themselves to do that. And they, on top of that, they disobeyed the Lord. So they didn't benefit, and they also disobeyed the Lord.
Right. They didn't catch any fish, because just like you said, they weren't supposed to be there.
Right, they weren't supposed to be doing that.
The Lord wasn't in on that work, was it?
No, they were in the world doing what they wanted to do.
Right, they went to go fishing and he didn't tell them to do that.
Right. In verse 4, "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus." So why didn't they recognize the Lord? They were probably too busy doing what they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And they probably also doubted that the Lord would even come in the first place. Think about that. They probably doubted that he wouldn't even come. And they were...
Yeah, because if they wouldn't think he would come, they'd never went fishing. They'd sit there waiting on him.
Right. They would just...
So they kind of said, well, maybe he must be...
Maybe he ain't coming.
Maybe he ain't coming.
And plus, they probably were a little bit hungry. And, you know, the things of this world,
yeah,
you know, were coming to them. And so they got wrapped up in the world, and they weren't concerned about God. They probably weren't even thinking about him. So in verse 5, "Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat?" God, Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. He knows they don't have no meat. He's just asking them that because he's about to teach them something.
Yeah.
Jesus is about to teach them something. And they answered him, "No." In verse 6, "And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." That's that right side of the ship, that has a lot of significance. I've said this before in the devotion, but a little side note, Matthew 28, 25:34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.
Right.
So there's a lot of significance in that right side. So he told them to cast on the right side, and they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. So when they cast on the right side, there's so much fishes that they couldn't bring it up to them. And verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. And now when Peter had heard this, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, and he was naked, and he cast himself in the sea. So when Peter had heard this, he dropped everything and jumped into the sea, and he's swimming to shore now to go meet Jesus. And I have a little couple notes on that. A lot of people today, even extremely religious people, they fail to realize that it is the Lord.
Right.
And it is the Lord that saves a man. It is the Lord that has created and is in control of all things. It is the Lord that we need above all things. Without the Lord, you and I have nothing. Just like the 11 disciples had nothing. They had no fish. So continuing on, John had recognized, that's in verse 7, the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's talking about John. And John had recognized that it was Jesus, and he told Peter. And so Peter's swimming ashore. And in verse 8, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, and they were dragging the net of fishes. So you notice that the other disciples didn't react as spontaneous as Peter did. You know, Peter jumped into the sea and they're, you know, paddling along with the fishes. They didn't react as Peter did. And they were 200 cubits. A little side note on cubit. A cubit is like 18 inches. Or 1.5 feet. So they were, if you do the math, it's probably about 300 feet, or like a football field. So they're about a football field away from shore,
right.
And so they're bringing the fish. I'm trying to just set the image. So they're, you know, they're dragging the net of fish with them. And verse 9, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid there on bread. So as soon as they get to shore, Jesus is already prepared fish and bread for them right when they get to shore. Miraculously, he's done that already for them. And it's kind of like in Matthew 14:17-20, when he fed the multitude of people with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes,
right.
Just like that.
Right.
I have a verse right here, Psalms 22:26, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever.
Brother Driller, he didn't just go at the market there and buy a couple of fish.
No, I think it was a boy with a basket, his lunch or whatever.
Well, he's got fish there and bread waiting on those guys. They've been out fishing all night, and there's not one or two of them. You got some grown men here.
Yeah.
One of them. So there better be a lot of fish.
Oh, yeah.
Just for that eating when they come in. They're hungry. They've been
fishing all night. They're probably starving.
So our Lord, He provides for us.
Right.
You're not going to come in and just take a little snack. The bread and fish is on the fire for us to feast.
Yeah, it's going to fill us up, right?
It's
going to
fill
us up.
Fill you up. No matter how much you toil out there and drag and kick fish and God provides for us.
Yeah, you can kind of see like that, you know, they're working.
Yep.
You know, God's people are working, and at the end, when they get to shore, that's their reward in heaven is the fish. And
he's waiting.
Yeah, and he's waiting for them.
All we have to do is follow him.
Yeah, all we have to do is follow him. That's good. So verse 10, Jesus saith unto him, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. You know, that's kind of funny. What six men couldn't do back in verse 6, Peter goes up by himself and picks up the net of fish and drags it to shore by himself. Because you know why he could do that? Because Jesus told him to do it, and he was able to do it. So I thought that was pretty cool. And continuing on in verse 11, and 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. You know, that's a picture of God's people too, the elect of God. Picture the people as fishes. And it's also not only a picture of election, it's a picture of the preservation of the saints, if you look at it too. Not one of them fell out the net. Picture God's people in that net.
Yeah.
And yet there were so many, yet was the net not broken. That's pretty good.
Amen. Yeah.
That is pretty good. I think I have a verse for that too. John 6:39. And this is the Father's will which He hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Right. So, you believe in Jesus Christ as your one and only Savior, you have security in Him and what He's done for you.
Yeah.
And that's pretty good stuff. You got security in God. In verse 12, Jesus said unto him, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. So they knew it was the Lord. There was no doubt that it was the Lord. In verse 13, Jesus...
I could add this. So maybe I'll throw my 2 cents in. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. None of the disciples asked him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. I may say this. When the Lord calls a sinner, quickens him, makes him alive.
Yeah.
Well, he hollers out, who art thou, Lord? But he knows who's sinner.
Yeah, he knows.
It's not a shot in the dark to a sinner that's been quickened. He knows that Jesus Christ has lifted him from the pit he was in.
Yeah.
And it's no doubt. He's not going to question, who are you in that sense. He knows it's God.
Oh, yeah, he knows. Whether he likes it or not, he knows.
He knows it's God that has saved us. And we know
right.
that. There's no shadow of doubt. He's the only way, the truth, and the life.
Yep. Amen. Where was I?
I didn't mean to throw you off.
No, that's all right. That's all right. I think
it was verse 12.
Verse 12. I think I just... Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't ask who he was. They knew it was the Lord. In verse 13, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. So he's giving them fish and all that, and he's feeding them. That's their reward. And verse 14, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. There you go. You see that number 3 again. And as we all know, the 3 is the number of the Godhead. That's, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you can also, it's also in this verse, it's confirming the resurrection of Jesus Christ is confirmed right here in this verse. And so he's risen from the dead, and it's the third time he showed himself to him. And verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Continuing on, he said to Peter again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, and he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. So Jesus has told him to feed his sheep. And you know what's also significant about that? Peter had denied Christ three times, didn't he? He had denied him three times. And now, right here, he says, I love you three times. He tells Jesus he loves him three times. That's pretty cool. And he commands him to feed his sheep. And it says that he was grieved when he had asked him the third time. I don't think he was grieved with the Lord, but probably with himself.
Yeah.
And if you look at how the Lord says, feed my sheep, the Lord is not assigning him to some special task, but probably assigning him to like a pastor, you know, to feed the flock. Or the flock can be seen as saved people. And you look at verse 18, Verily I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, saying, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. So Jesus Christ, he just told Peter what death he should glorify God. He's gonna die to glorify God. He's gonna be a martyr.
Yeah.
And he tells him to follow me.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy to think about, you know, Jesus telling you that you're gonna die for me or whatever. That's pretty crazy. But God gets glory from the sufferings of his saints.
Yeah.
Sometimes a martyr's death will affect others more than his whole life.
Right.
If you look at Samson and Judges 16:30, and Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than he slew in his whole life.
Right.
So he glorified God with his death more than he glorified God in his whole life. That's pretty amazing. And so Peter will follow the Lord in death. Peter will glorify the Lord in his death. And verse 20, then Peter turning about... okay, hang on. I had something else for follow me. What does it mean to follow him? That's my question. What does it mean to follow him? If you look at Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Mark 10:21, then Jesus beholding him loved him and said unto him, one thing that thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And if you look at Philippians, this is what Paul said, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death.
Hmm.
So, we're to follow him, even unto death. We're supposed to follow him. In verse 20, then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also learned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? So, Peter was just told to follow the Lord, and now he takes his eyes off the Lord, and turning about puts them on John. So right after Jesus told him to follow him, he turns and looks to John. And then Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? So he asked, what's going to happen to John? Right after he told, Jesus had just told him what to follow him.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how we are, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's just how we are. And verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that ye tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. So Jesus pretty much tells him it's none of his business what happens to John. And it says, if I will it, he tarry till I come. Even if John never dies,
yeah.
You know, it's none of his business, none of Peter's business. And God, and then he says it again, follow thou me. He told him to follow him, and he's going to follow him.
We each got to walk the business.
Yep.
Individual.
Right.
Can't depend on daddy or mom.
Right. It's all individual, isn't it?
It's a personal thing.
It is. It's between you and God. Verse 23. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that the disciples should not die. So they're thinking that John's not going to die. But Jesus said unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? So it's none of the other disciples' business either, isn't it? So, and it says in 24, this is the disciple which testifieth of things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. So John wrote the book of John, so that's this is his testimony. And verse 25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself cannot contain the books that should be written. Amen. So, that's finishing up the chapter. I went a little faster than I wanted to, but I got a little side note. I did read this at the nursing home, and I tried my tried to preach to him, but anyway, I do have this. Christ's glory is so infinite that neither I or any other human being can describe it.
Right.
We have the Bible that reveals him to an extent. Okay, to say that we don't need the Bible is to say that we don't need Christ. Mm. This Bible is a letter from God. We need it, you know. We need it to learn about him, you know. It reveals him to an extent. It's not going to be when we go to heaven, you know. If you say then you go to heaven, you know all about him, you know, when you meet him, you know. But this is what we have, and we got to do with it what we have, you know, to learn about him. He is the Word, and he's the truth and the life. So.
Yeah.
Those who believe in him have life. So, that's what I got. I think we got 10 minutes. 15. Is there anything y'all wanted to look at?
Well,
I know it's Sunday school, so.
Yeah, we need God's word, like you said.
Right.
Because it's the revelation. It reveals who God is.
Right.
Now, a lot of people over in the jungles of Australia and Africa, they may not have God's word.
No, they don't.
He reveals himself in creation also. I mean,
he does, yeah.
None of us are without excuse. Okay? Any man can look up there in the stars and the planets.
You can see the Godhead everywhere.
And that's God. That's God's handiwork. That didn't evolve from nothing. So he's revealing himself in these trees and these beautiful flowers and the animals. That tells man that there is a God. And they have no excuse to say, to deny that there is a God. But God has given his word to reveal himself even better. Not only that he is God, but what his will is for us to do.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very important that we look at God's word.
It is, yeah.
It describes him. It tells us exactly who he is.
It's his character.
It's his character. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. If we can learn what his character is, we can learn what his will is toward us. We can learn what he is going to do in the future. and all these things in that last.
And it's
verse,
never-ending learning, isn't
right,
it? Too.
The last verse is there are also many other things which Jesus did that, if it should be written, I suppose that the world couldn't contain the books.
Yeah, it couldn't contain.
We don't need
it.
All
yeah.
them books.
Yeah.
Got, His word is right here.
Yeah.
But there's many other things that He has done to reveal Himself. But this is the complete Word of God, and that's
yeah.
what we believe, and
yeah.
that's what we teach. His character is right here. All we got to do is look at it.
Amen. I guess we can take a break.
Yep.
It's 10 minutes till 11. Finish a little faster than what I wanted to.